5:05 on a Barlow Thursday. More Barlow Burgers, and they've got a great deal going on Mondays with Barlow Burgers and Brew. We'll tell you all about that in just a second. Right now, Sean Moore joins us here on the Sports Line, former Virginia quarterback, and all kinds of things going on. And first and foremost, Sean, welcome to the program. Glad to have you on.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you taking a few minutes for us. And, you know, obviously a lot going on, and we've been talking a lot of UVA football. And, you know, you are obviously down in the lore of Virginia football for the career that you had there, and obviously going on to, you know, many other things as well. But let's dive in right off the bat, if you don't mind, touching on the Hoos and what's going on up in Charlottesville. Your impression when fans come up to you and say, man, what's going on up in Charlottesville? What do you tell them?
You know, it's just a matter of transition. You know, whenever, you know, having been part of that Coach London staff, you know, when you transition into a new staff, there's a matter of kids learning schemes and kind of learning philosophies of coaches. So it takes some time. It definitely takes some time to adapt. But I think that, you know, if you just look at historically coaches that have gone in to new programs, that second year is usually a banner year. You know, we were Chick-fil-A Bowl bound in 2011 after our second year with Coach London when he replaced Coach Groh. So it's I look for big things out of Charlottesville this year.
Optimistic, certainly, and Bronco Mendenhall's got the track record to warrant that. Also, Sean Moore with us here on the Sports Line, former Virginia Cavaliers quarterback. What is it about year one versus year two that often blossoms for a coaching staff and for a program now that you've got a year under your belt with a coaching staff?
Well, I think kids are still learning, you know. They're still learning, as I mentioned, philosophies and schemes. And so I think when you're on, everyone knows in football, when you're thinking and not playing to your full potential and full speed, it takes away from your game. And I think, you know, now that they've had, you know, two spring football seasons and a football season under their belt, hopefully they can play freely and fast this year. And I know that's the goal for Coach Mendenhall. That's, he preaches that, so. If those kids can play fast and know what they're doing, I think the ACC is a tremendous amount of parity. There's an opportunity to win six games and make a bowl game.
You know, Sean, one of the things that really has fascinated me over the course of the last year was, you know, fans are fans. And you understand, you know, the nature and mentality of fans to a degree. And a lot of times their expectations are unrealistic and they expect things to happen faster than, again, realistic. But the thing that's amazed me is we've talked to a number of different media members who already seem, I mean, even before last season was over, right, Ed, who seemed to think that that Bronco wasn't the guy for this program and that it wasn't going to work out and that, you know, Virginia should look to move on. And, you know, I mean, how much time do you think is fair to give him? Because less than a year or a year doesn't seem like, you know, it doesn't seem like that's fair, right?
You would think not. But, you know, we live in an era now where, you know, programs, not only at the collegiate level, but if you just watch what's going on in professional football and athletics across the country, everyone is quick to make a change if they don't see success immediately. Mm-hmm. And usually in the major programs, particularly in pro and college football, you're given about a three-year window. The fortunate thing for Coach Mendenhall is, historically, I mean that historically, at the University of Virginia, you know, Coach Walsh was there for 20-plus years. Coach Groh, even though had some tough times, had 9 seasons, and Coach London had 7. So, you know, who's to say that they're not going to give Coach Mendenhall at least the 5 years that's on his contract? So I think he realizes that. I think the administration has given him support. I think he knows he's got that support. So I think it's just a matter of the fan base being patient and letting him put his players in place.
Sean, how much of that falls back as well? Obviously, there's the instant gratification society, but the nature of football where more people as coaches, players, personnel evaluators than in basketball needing to be more patient than any other sport because it takes longer to right the ship.
It does. But, you know, the unfortunate part in this day and age, coaches are the ones that the money has gotten so crazy in athletics, particularly in college football. So it's hard to maintain consistency when you lose an offensive coordinator or lose a special teams coordinator or a defensive coordinator. And that's what's happening in college sports. If you just look at the end of the season every year, coaches are jumping ship. And you know, it's affecting recruiting. It's affecting, you know, the way teams think. It's affecting the way these athletic departments, these athletic directors think. So it's nuts. But I think if you just look at what Coach Mendenhall did when he came to Virginia, he brought all of his assistants with him. Really, every new coach there came from BYU except for Coach Higgins. So I think that gives him a tremendous amount of time, because those guys have been with him for so long.
Sean, what's the one thing that stands out to you about Coach Mendenhall that makes you think that he's going to turn things around and have a successful run at UVA?
He, in my opinion, and mm-hmm. I've only met him once, but what I see is a little bit of Coach Welsh, George Welsh. Yeah, George didn't care what anyone thought of him. And now George didn't have the best personality. If anyone that knows Coach Welsh knows, he's not the most personable coach. But he had a fantastic staff, and he didn't care. And I think Coach Mendenhall has a little bit of that in him. He's more personable with the media, and definitely a player's coach. But I think in the back of his mind, he's like, you know what, I'm doing this my way, and I don't really care what most people think, whether it's fans or media.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Moore with us here on the Sports Line, former Virginia Cavalier quarterback. You had a chance to work as well with the college football playoff and that organization as it got off the ground. Obviously, Virginia's a ways off from being a playoff-caliber team, but overall, what impact has that had on college football and the schools, even like Virginia, that are further away from being in the playoff, just the overall growth of the sport?
You know, I think it's done a tremendous amount for the game. It's for the college football game, especially at the FBS level. I think teams go into the season knowing that, hey, you know, even if we lose this season opener against the number 2 or the number 10 team in the country, we got a chance to rebound. We just got to win the rest of them, and we'll give ourselves a chance to be in the conversation, to be in the playoff. And the way the committee is set up, I mean, it's nuts. It's not really based on computers anymore, which you used to throw everyone's record in and strength of schedule. Now it's real people making these decisions. So if you just look at the way the format is set up now, anyone has a chance. Even if you're not in one of the Power 5 conferences, you got a chance to be in the conversation, to be in the playoff. And if you get in the playoff, you got a chance to be a national champion. So I think there's a lot of hope for a lot of schools, particularly in even the schools that aren't, like I said, in a Power 5 conference. And even if you're in the middle of the pack of the Pac-12 or the ACC, all you got to do is win them all or lose one early, and you give yourself a chance to be in that conversation.
Sean, in your opinion, what's the right number? How many schools should ultimately be in the college football playoff? Is 4 the right number? You know, obviously there's a lot of speculation here. Just curious about your thoughts.
this is a question that always comes up. Having worked there and knowing Bill Hancock and that entire staff, that number's not going to change. It's going to go for the duration of the contract, and I think that's probably another 11 years. But I think, realistically, most people think if you go to 8 teams, people are going to complain then, because number 9 and 10 is going to have beef. Like, why aren't we in?
Right.
But if you went to 8 teams and kind of look and see what the FCS level does, you know, I think it's 16 for them. So that's half of what they do, and that gives everyone really a chance. You know, particularly if you won your conference, or if you feel like you're the best team in your conference, and you didn't win the conference title, it gives multiple teams an opportunity. But I think the way it's set up now, we're not going to even have that conversation for another 11 years.
Okay, fair enough.
Sean Moore with us here on the Sports Line, former Virginia Cavalier quarterback, discussing the college football playoff, talking a little bit of Virginia Cavaliers also. Sean, you mentioned the duration and expecting for the at least foreseeable future, seeing a four-team college football playoff. I've heard at times, I don't necessarily get this line of thinking, but I've heard it, that college football is better off without the playoff. Your overall thoughts on the positive or negative impact that the playoff is having on the sport today?
You know, there's definitely, it could use some tweaking. I do like, having been part of the first national championship with the college football playoff when Ohio State and Oregon played, and having worked through that whole year and, you know, going through the whole planning process, it was fantastic for me to see it firsthand and be part of it. But there is something about the old system of, you know what, the Orange Bowl's the national championship this year, or the Fiesta Bowl's the national championship. I kind of miss that. That's how it was for forever. That's how old football guys like myself recall it. There's something to be said for that, but I think we'll all adapt to the new system. In 10 years from now, we would have forgotten about those bowl games that hosted national championships, and we'll be looking forward to the playoff, particularly since it's rotating now like the Super Bowl. And I think it'll be going to some places that hopefully it'll go to some of the cities where there's non-NFL cities, non-NFL teams, and it'll bring a tremendous amount of revenue, and those cities will benefit from having the national championship there.
Sean, what do you like more about college football now than when you played, and what might maybe do you like less?
Well, you know, I said this recently. There's nothing like Saturday morning getting up and watching Lee Corso make his picks and getting ready for the big game at noon, and the premier game, the night game, primetime game at 8 o'clock. But what I miss, and like I said, I say this to a lot of kids today, is I miss 21 personnel football where quarterbacks lined up under the center and they ran power football and they play action passed and three-step dropped. It's the game has evolved into four and five receiver now, four and five receiver sets, and that's why you're seeing so many, you know, young and innovative coaches get these big time jobs, because they're coming up with these offenses and really they're just throwing the ball over the field, and it makes the game longer. You know, games used to be almost, you know, 2 hours, 45 minutes, 3 hours. Now games are 4.5 hours. At 8 o'clock, they're going off after midnight because the ball is thrown around so much. Incomplete pass stops the clock. So it's just amazing that the game has evolved to what it's become now. You see a team like Alabama, they still line up in 21 personnel, and they'll smack you in the mouth. And that's, you know, they've had some success doing it. I enjoy watching that brand of football.
Sean, you've played in the NFL as well, playing at UVA, then going to the Denver Broncos. What do you do if you're the NFL to try to get players and make sure they're prepared? Because there's less practice time than ever before. And to compound that, players in college are playing in systems that seemingly, and you would know better than I would if this is actually true, but seemingly do less to actually prepare them for what professional football demands.
They do. That's true. It's really kind of I think it's tougher on NFL personnel and scouts now, because at some point it becomes a little bit of a guessing game. As you saw in this year's past draft, you know, the Bears took the quarterback from North Carolina, who's got, what, 12, 13 starts under his belt. And so they're basically basing his talents on potential. And so that's what it's become now, because you haven't seen this guy play, you know, more than 13 games in a season. The NFL season is 13 games, 16 games plus four preseason games. So I think it becomes a guessing game, and some teams are going to look good because they're going to get a hot prospect that's going to turn out to be the next Peyton Manning or the next Eli Manning. But some teams are going to struggle because they're going to get a guy, they're going to take a guy extremely high, and he's not going to pan out because they haven't seen enough of him. And because of that, and because of the way things are set up now, the NFL teams are going to lose. They're going to lose that battle.
Sean Moore joining us here on the Sports Line, and Ed referenced his work for the college football playoff, and now at St. Christopher's School. Tell us a little bit about that, Sean, and what's going on there.
So I'm the director of community and inclusion here at St. Christopher School, which is a private school on the west end of town, about probably a half a mile from the University of Richmond. Beautiful campus. It's an all-boys Episcopalian school. We have about 1,000 boys from junior kindergarten to 12th grade. So I oversee all of our diversity programming and also work in admissions and fortunate enough to coach the quarterbacks on our football team. So it's fun. You know, it's similar to the role I had when I was in Washington, D.C., working for St. Albans, the National Cathedral School. So I'm really back in at this level, at the education level, impacting young lives and really enjoying myself.
That's something that you said you've obviously done before. What drove you into that?
When I was before I started coaching at the University of Virginia in 2010, I was at an all boys Episcopalian school in Washington D.C. and my son was going through the private school, kind of trying to identify which private school he wanted to go to. At the time, he chose to go to DeMatha, which is a perennial power in the D.C. Maryland area.
Mm-hmm.
But I was working at St. Albans, hoping that he would choose this strong academic school, all boys Episcopalian school. He didn't choose that school, unfortunately. But it was something I enjoyed. I enjoyed working with kids at that level. It gave me an opportunity to really impact some kids from underrepresented backgrounds, and the network of kids and parents that work in this environment has been fantastic. I've made some unbelievable relationships that will last forever, and really just a pleasure and a joy to work with kids at this level.
And still an opportunity to keep your hands in football coaching.
Absolutely, absolutely.
John, thank you so much. We appreciate the time. Great catching up, and we'd love to stay in touch.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Sean Moore joining us here on the Sports Line, former Virginia great, and now involved, like you pointed out, Ed, with the college football playoff, and director of community and inclusion, along with the associate director of admissions and the quarterbacks coach at St. Christopher's.
I thought it was a very interesting take on just the evolution of college football and the change. Because there's a part of me that likes watching the more old school approach to the game. I get the evolution of it, but I do find it fascinating because the NFL, while it's not necessarily just a fullback and a running back and a tight end and two wide receivers all the time, there's a lot more of that concept in the pro game than there is in the college game. And I think you factor in stopping the clock on every first down to move the chains, even in the first and third quarters of games, things like that for college football. It has drawn out games in a way where I think you could find a way, if you wanted to decrease that time a little bit, there are ways to do that if you're college football.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And you're right. It was an interesting perspective because, like most folks, when things change, we like some of the changes, we don't like others. But you're right, that was a really interesting perspective on the length of football games and why they're going so much longer right now. 5:24 on a Barlow Thursday. The burgers are here. The chicken and shrimp jambalaya.
Delicious.
Has arrived, and it is very good. A little bit of a kick to it.
It does.
Which is what you want from jambalaya.
It's got a little zing, Rich.
And the burgers. Well, we told you about the burgers last time. They're just as good. As advertised. Jesse, Anthony, chowing down back there. We'll get their thoughts. And we'll tell you more about Burger Night at Barlow every Monday. When we come back, you're listening to The Sports Line.